Turn back with me, if you would, to Psalm 123. Last Wednesday evening, we looked at Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That psalm blessed me so much. I enjoyed that so much. So when I got to the study Monday morning, I thought, well, let's go to the next one. Psalm 123. And the Lord blessed this psalm to me also. Let's read these first four verses again. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Now, under the psalm title, it says, a song of degrees. You see that? A song of degrees. Meaning, it goes from one step to another step. And then from that step to the next step. A song of degrees. Usually, when you think of degrees, you think of them going higher and higher and higher, right? But verse 1 starts out with us lifting up our eyes to the one who dwells in the heavens. And then verse 2 is asking His condescension to come down here and have mercy on us. And then verse 3 acknowledges that we are filled with contempt. Shame. And verse 4 says, our souls are exceedingly filled with scorning and contempt. The degrees of a man that God goes to work on. There is nothing more enjoyable to see. There's nothing more precious. There's no greater blessing that we could experience ourselves or to see in somebody else than when God goes to work on the heart of a man or a woman. And you can see it. You can tell it. It's obvious to everybody but Him at first. And when God goes to work on him, God sends him through these degrees. And those degrees progressively get lower and lower. Isn't that right? The longer a man goes, the longer a man or a woman is worked on by our Lord, the lower and lower his degree becomes. Look at a man who knows absolutely nothing of the true and living God. Proud. Look at a man that God has sent through some degrees. Humble, right? Our Lord said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. God said, John the Baptist is the greatest earthly mortal man that has ever walked this earth. And John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Isn't that right? Now that ought to give us some insight to the first phrase here in verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes. When we lift our eyes toward heaven, do you know what we see? If we're in this room, we see the ceiling. If we're outside, you see the sky, you see the clouds, you see the birds. If you have a telescope, you see a dark outer space, you see the moon, you see stars, you see planets. Mankind is looking for God with these eyes, and He'll never find Him. If that's all we ever do, if that's the only way we ever look, we will never see our God. Never. Man is looking out there trying to find God, trying to find the answers to God, and he's never going to find Him that way. Never. How does a sinner lift up his eyes to God Almighty? Verse 1 says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." Look with me over at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Just before Revelation. John, 1 John 1 verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning," this is talking about our Lord, "that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon." John said, "We have seen Him with our eyes." The apostles, all of those men and women who were on the earth when He was here, they saw Him with their eyes. But they said, that's not all we did. He said, "We looked upon Him." We looked upon Him. There's a big difference. You know that? There's a huge difference. How many people saw Jesus Christ and never looked upon Him? Never. They said, "We've seen Him," but more importantly than that, "We've looked upon Him." Not every believing child of God, you know, the Lord has His elect, and at some point in His purpose, He calls them out and He gives them sight, faith. Not every believing child of God has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But every single believing child of God has looked upon Him. Every single one has looked upon Him. We look upon Him with the eyes of this heart. The eyes of this heart. How does a heart that God has sent through some degrees truly look to Him? Our Lord said it's not through a proud look. Not at all. Not through a proud look. See if you can find the book of Ezra. It's in the Old Testament. It's after 1 and 2 Chronicles, just before Job and the Psalms. Page 662, if your Bible's like mine. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 verse 5 says, "And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." This sounds like a man that God has put through some degrees. Verse 6, "And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee." I'm too ashamed to lift my face up to Thee, my God. "For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day." We can say the same thing, can't we? Since the days of our fathers, it's been nothing but sin. "And for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, into confusion of face as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Ezra lifted up his eyes unto God, but he never left off looking to the ground. His face never left looking to the ground. That publican in Luke 18, he has the same story, doesn't he? That publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his heart, smote upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is lifting up true God-given spiritual eyes to the God of our salvation. That is truly looking to Him. Now go with me back to our text in Psalm 123. Verse 1 says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. I've thought about that for just a minute. The heavens. He dwells in the heavens. The heaven of heavens. The Scripture calls it the third heaven. Wherever that is. The new earth. You think about that. The new earth. The place where God's glorified, truly glorified saints are right now. Right now. The place where no sin is. No sin. The place that has no need of the sun, for the glory of the Lamb is the light of it. No sadness, no darkness. The place that has a throne in the middle of it. Seraphims right there cry continually, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The place where we are physically going to be able to walk up to that throne and we're going to be joyfully received and we're going to be given every single thing that we could possibly have need of. I was just thinking while we were singing that song, turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look full in His wonderful face. I was thinking while we were singing that, I wonder what His face looks like. I don't really want to put a picture there. That's almost a graven image to me. I'll see it when He shows it to me. But how glorious. How glorious. The place where He will be with us. He'll be with us. We will be with Him. He will be our God. We will be His people forever. Forever. Verse 1 says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Our eyes wait upon Him. Servants do wait upon their masters. They do serve their masters, but that means so much more than that. Servants look to their master's hand for everything they need. Every single thing they need. Not only for direction, not only for guidance, leadership, They look to their master's hand to provide every single thing they need. Their master provides them their food. He provides them their clothes. He provides them the house of shelter that they live in, a bed, protection, everything. Everything. They do serve their master's needs, but they are completely dependent on him. Totally dependent on him for all their livelihood. David said, that's how our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. We have a cat named Gracie. Every single morning, whoever gets up first, Hannah or I, whoever goes into the kitchen first, every single morning, not only does she see us, she looks upon us intently. Every move, she leans into it. It's so funny to me. She is so interested in what we're doing. She physically looks at my hands. She looks at my head and my hands. And what she's wanting to see is my hands grab her food and set it down in front of her. David said, that's how God's servants look to his hand. Intently. Every move. Completely dependent on him for exactly what I need. And David said, that's how we look to his hand. The end of verse 2 says, until that he have mercy upon us. God's saints, his willing servants. We are his servants, aren't we? We're willing servants. We're his servants. He calls us his children. He calls us the bride of his son. But we are willing and happy servants. But God's servants cannot and will not stop looking to him. We will not stop looking to his hand and begging from him until he has mercy on us. Isn't that right? Until he shows mercy to us. I know that we all love the account of Jacob. The Lord wrestled with him. And if the Lord has never wrestled with a person, they will have no idea what that means. No idea. But if the Lord ever troubles a person, if he ever breaks a person, if he ever truly forces that person to bow to him in submission, they'll know exactly what it means that the Lord wrestled with Jacob. But he wrestled with him, and this is what Jacob said, and this is what every sinner that God wrestles with will say. Jacob said, I will not let you go. Now, Jacob knew, and we know, that we cannot let God do anything. If God wants to go, he will go. Isn't that right? What Jacob was saying, and this is what we can all say. He said, since you are being so kind to stay, since you in mercy have not left me, I can't let go. I just cannot let go. As long as you're willing to stay, I can't let go. Verse 3, he said, have mercy upon us. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. The word contempt means disrespect and it means shame. Lord, we are your servants, but we know, we acknowledge to you that we are nothing but unprofitable servants. That's all we are. Unprofitable servants. In our flesh, we're filled with so much disrespect and so much shame. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. If we unprofitable, shameful, wicked servants If we look to the hands of our Master, David said, we look unto you as a servant looks to his master's hand. That's how we're looking to you. If we look to the hand of our Master, do you know what we'll see? Nail prints. Nail prints. If we look to his hands, as the eyes of servants look to the hands of their masters, when we look to the hands of our Lord, that's exactly what we see. Nail prints. There was a dear old preacher of the gospel. I knew him as a young child. I didn't know him when I was older, but his name was Ed Hale. And I really loved him and respected him. He lived in Louisiana, and my family's from Louisiana, and our families were close. He was close with my grandparents, and he was a guitar player, and I was fascinated with the guitar, and he showed me some things. But anyway, he was a songwriter. He wrote this one of the songs we sang Sunday morning, Oh, How Merciful. Oh, How Merciful. And you can tell what kind of man he was, and you can tell what his message was by the songs he wrote. Oh, how merciful. But one of the other songs that he wrote says this, I'll be looking for those scars up in heaven. Scars that love held on the tree. Scars that turned judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. God's people are the most honest people on this earth. Who else will stand up in front of God and man and say, I am nothing but a hell-deserving sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. David said in verse 4, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. He's saying that they're scorning me. I'm persecuted for the truth's sake, but he's also saying I'm no better than they are. Our souls are filled with the scorning of those that are at ease. Our souls are filled with the contempt of the proud. And our only hope is God's mercy. That's it, God's mercy. Our only hope is those scars that we're looking to in the hands of our Lord. We have not physically seen those yet, but we're looking to them, aren't we? We're looking to them. With every ounce of visual faith he gives us, we're looking to them. We're looking. Now, we're going to end on this note. This is a song. The Psalms are a collection of 150 songs. Most songs are written with a chorus. You know that? A chorus is a part of the song that hammers the message of the song. It keeps ringing it over and over and over. You keep coming back to that chorus, right? I can see verse 1 being our chorus. We're going to end this the way a song ends, okay? Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Our Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me, he said. Look unto me, Lord, with your faith, by the faith you've given us, through that faith, we look to you. We look to you. You're our only hope. Completely looking to you. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Stand together with me. Let's turn to 359.